Recording.
Okay. Morning, everyone. I call this meeting to order. It's October 26th. Please turn off or mute all of your electronic devices. And then, Victoria, do you want to do roll call or someone? Sorry. Look, I could just as easily go as well.
I have it.
Oh, yeah, and it's not Dr. Wright anyways.
It's Dr.
Jenkins. I'm still on my script over here. It's Dr. Wright. That's why. Dr. G.
Dr.
Nope. Ms. Krieger? Here. Ms. Frost?
Here.
Dr. James is here. Mr. Logie?
Here.
Dr. Nosley?
Here.
Ms. Solomon?
Here.
Dr. Thompson?
Here.
Dr. Wright?
Not here.
Yeah. We have two missing. We have quorum. Okay, great. Okay, so we're going to start with the initial investigative reviews and start with number 3, 22-115, regards to L.H. Nelson, DVM. Tracy, please read the summary.
Sure. Case 22-115, the complainant is Pauline House Bond / Cherish Tales Senior Sanctuary. The respondent is L.H. Nelson, DVM. On February 8th, 2022, Rose, a 10-year-old female long-haired dachshund, was presented to respondent for a spay and dental procedure. The procedures were performed, and the dog was discharged later that evening. On February 12th, 2022, the dog was adopted. The new family was advised that the dog had vomited that day and to closely monitor her. On February 13th, 2022, the dog was presented to an emergency facility where she was diagnosed with a hernia in the left inguinal region, not associated with the spay incision as originally suspected. Surgery was performed, resection and anastomosis of strangulated bowel was required. The dog remained hospitalized and required a subsequent surgery. Due to the dog's worsening condition, the pet owner elected to humanely euthanize the dog. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. And it was moved and seconded the board found ARS 3222-32, number 21, as it relates to R311-502L, 7, 7A, and 7D, which are medical record keeping violations, and ARS 3222-32-18, as it relates to R311-502E, failure to provide discharge instructions, and ARS 3222-32-12, as it relates to R311-5011, for failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge by not dispensing antibiotics or pain medication in a diabetic dog that underwent a spay and dental procedure with extractions. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. Please let the record state that Dr. Nosley is recused on this item. We do have the respondent and his attorney present. I do not have the complainant present, so Mr. Stoll,
if you guys
would like to come forward. Please note that Dr. Wright has arrived sooner than we expected. Okay, we can now give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Please state your name for the record.
Harrison Nelson.
And Dave Schultz appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Nelson.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to respond to the investigative committee's proposed violations in this matter. This complaint was filed because the complainant alleged that when I performed a routine spay and dental procedure, I misdiagnosed an inguinal hernia. I denied that I misdiagnosed the dog's condition or did anything medically that fell beyond the standard of care in this case, and the investigative committee agreed with me. They agreed that I did not misdiagnose the dog's hernia. I understand that the committee is not limited to the subject matter of the complaint, and therefore they expressed concerns about three other potential violations that I would like to address. First, with regard to the proposed violation for not providing discharge instructions, they were in fact provided but were inadvertently omitted from the medical records that I provided with my response to the complaint. I apologize for that oversight. Shortly after the IC meeting last month, we found the written discharge instructions for this case, and they were provided to you along with the statement of my lead technician, Nicole Levesque. In addition to addressing the discharge instructions issue, Ms. Levesque also addressed the second concern of the committee's, which was an alleged failure to dispense antibiotics or pain medication following the spay and dental procedure that was performed in this case for the rescue organization Cherish Tales. As set forth in Ms. Levesque's statement, pain meds and antibiotics were intentionally not dispensed because this rescue client has these medications on hand, therefore consistently and routinely declines them. That is what happened in this case. As you can see from Ms. Levesque's statement, this client elected to use the carprofen and antibiotics that they already had at home and declined pain meds and antibiotics that were available at our hospital. There should be, therefore, be no violation of Art 311-501 in this case. The third and final area of concern mentioned by the investigative committee are alleged minor record-keeping omissions on the anesthesia form. With regard to the alleged failure to document the type of gas anesthesia used, the committee clearly overlooked the fact that isoflurane is identified on the form as the type of gas anesthesia that was used. Therefore, there can be no violation of R311-502-L7 in connection with the type of gas anesthesia that was used. As for the proposed violation of R311-502-L7D for not documenting the route of administration of the atropine, the form used at the time of this procedure had two sets of initials under the route section, sub-Q or IM. This practice only administers atropine subcutaneously. I know for certain that the atropine was given that way. I should have circled the sub-Q initials on the form. In response to this complaint, we have now revised the form to remove the initials IM in that section, and so sub-Q is now the only noted route of administration for atropine. Finally, I will admit that the concentration of PNG that was administered in this case was not noted on the record. As a result, I am prepared to entertain a consent agreement for that, provided that this oversight is treated as a minor record keeping violation that did not affect the diagnosis or care of the animal under ARS 322233B3. Having provided additional information concerning the discharge instructions and post-op medications, this minor record-keeping violation should be the only violation in the consent agreement. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shade. We do not have the complainant present, and Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yes, so in this case, there were accusations made that the doctor misdiagnosed or as a result of the surgery that that he performed caused the inguinal hernia, which essentially led to the pet going to the emergency hospital. When you look through the records and listen to the recordings, it was not a result of the spay that was performed by this doctor or the dental that was performed by this doctor that led to those issues, to the inguinal hernia. The difficult part is that while, again, the doctor did not do any harm to the pet in their practice that led to the issues with the pet, there were medical records issues that were noted. And I appreciate the doctor going over the different things that the investigative committee found and explaining those, but it still doesn't erase the fact that those were there, and I still have a couple of questions in regards to even another of the charts. And it also goes to some other record keeping as far as, yes, teeth were removed, but we didn't notate which teeth were removed. We just said two of these and two of those. So I think, you know, there were some violations. I feel like whenever we do have any sort of violations and we want to find problems, we generally kick it to a informal hearing. So that would be my proposal.
Do you know what the medical records, do you have a list of what you think they are after hearing what he said? Because like some, it sounds like in my list, some of them would have come off.
Yes, some of them would have come off, but like if we go and look at the dental, actual dental medical record, while he mentions that isoflurane is on the actual sheet for a spay, there is no mention of gas anesthesia on the dental form, and I would assume that there are times that you do a dental without doing a spay, and these are like fill-in chart, like they're just X off. So there's no mention of gas anesthesia on the actual dental form. So that was a question of mine. Is that something?
So, yeah, Mark, in this situation, would it be appropriate if we had a few maybe clarifying questions that we could ask now to see if we might avoid doing having to move it to an informal?
Absolutely. Trying to keep it brief because it is an informal.
I would have a question to Dr. Thompson because it does say isofluorine on the spay, but it says yes or no.
Right.
So exactly. I'm like, well, it says iso, so that's the only option.
Right.
But it doesn't say yes or no. And I have, unfortunately, I've seen spays done without gas anesthesia before. So to me,
right,
was there gas anesthesia? I just have a question, yeah. And then there was one other piece on here. With the monitoring, they're filling it in like, you know, see spay chart, but then it starts with induction again on the monitoring parameters. And so there are parameters on their chart every 10 minutes. Obviously statute, you know, as far as the statute goes, every 15, but there's no like vitals after.
Right, after waking.
Yeah. So I was like, well, so yeah, just some questions there. And then one other question when it came to the prescriptions, the investigative committee's question had to do with, they were concerned that there was no pain management or antibiotics. I don't know about the antibiotics piece so much, if that's something that would have been required. However, if the rescue has these drugs, wouldn't it still be necessary for the veterinarian to order the dosages, like provide some sort of written prescription or something? Because that seems problematic, I guess, especially.
Yeah, I totally understand where he's coming from as well, knowing a lot of rescues have stuff, and a lot of rescues know what stuff to do, but it's still our responsibility to have that written somewhere that this was at least recommended.
A written prescription, like you can have a written prescription, and then they can
fill it wherever they need to get it filled.
Yeah. So anyways, I just had a question with that. I don't even know what statute that may be attached to, but I understood where the investigative committee's thoughts were going. I just didn't. In the records, there it absolutely isn't addressed.
Right.
Madam Chair, it sounds like there's more than just
one
or
two. Yeah, I was going to say.
So if Dr. Thompson's proposal was in the form of a motion to go to informal, I'll second it.
Again, I didn't know if that was something that, like, she already has, like, filtered down, and it is one or two questions. Those are just the things that popped up when I...
And I mean, in all honesty, like, I feel badly that things got to this point, because, again, what the doctor did not lead to this dog. And, boy, do I have questions about the other side of that, but that's not what this case is about. I feel very badly for the owners and for that dog, what they went through, but... they are medical records violations, so guidance, I guess, from the board, if this is something that we would normally go to a hearing, or if we feel like a consent agreement would be on the medical records. I'm open to either.
Well, and let me just throw out there, as the doctor mentioned, you know, you do have the ability, I don't know how the board views the issues associated with the records, but if you deem them minor, you know, you can dispose of it as an administrative violation as opposed to a disciplinary violation. But again, I'll defer to the board as to the degree of the, you know, records issues.
Obviously, whether any of your questions you think would take away any of the violations or add to them, you know.
Yeah, I think. Thank you, Mark, for adding that, because I feel like it's more administrative versus actual disciplinary. Nothing that he did or didn't do led to what happened to this pet. This was outside of those issues, if you will. So I would be fine with going with it. So then it would be a consent agreement on the administrative issues.
And you know, if you do that, though, you're limited to just a civil penalty. You know, as far as your administrative options go, we can't, you know, add any other conditions to the consent agreement.
I guess for me, the reason I would look at administrative is it does sound like the practice has already taken action on improving some of these things that might be unclear. And we see this a lot with medical workers that are forms, because you're not consciously thinking about what you're writing down, you're just checking things. So as I mentioned, I think they've already gone and looked at this and they've already made some changes to make it more clear for the future. I don't know that anything we would have done outside of that would help anymore.
No, I agree. It's just one of those things I wasn't entirely sure, because most of the ones that we have had to have some sort of violation has gone to an informal. So I'm more than fine with that, and I would just hope that in hearing our conversations and mentioning that the dental form doesn't mention anything about gas anesthesia, that that might become something that gets changed on the form as well.
And the importance of writing down what you communicated with the owner regarding pain and antibiotics. Even if it's declined, it needs to be written down that this is what has been recommended and this is what they said. That kind of thing.
So I guess my motion at this point will be to send a consent agreement on administrative violations on record keeping. So better record keeping.
And do we want to list out what our concerns were for that?
So the list would include administration route of medications, listing of gas anesthesia that's used, writing out prescriptions for patients, and notating any sort of client communication and go home care.
And what is that administrative?
Yes, and documenting extra.
Know what it is off the top of your head, the administrative.
22, 33B. 22, 33B. Yeah, B3. We have a blue one now, Dr.
James. But that one's
not. Yeah, that's not.
Okay.
This one was under green. Is that right?
Yes. So did you want to include a consent agreement, a civil penalty of a certain dollar figure?
It will tell you.
Do you know what it requires?
Yes.
Well, I guess they would have to vote first on the consent agreement.
Do we have anything more to add to the initial motion?
No.
Okay. Here, we have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second. And do we need to do roll call?
This can be voice roll.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Now we can hear the, there's any priors.
Yes, so in,
but,
go ahead.
We're not doing anything else, are we?
Well, with an administrative record keeping violation, you have the ability to issue a civil penalty up to $1,000.
Okay.
In 2007, there was a complaint that was dismissed with no violation, but there was a letter of concern issued regarding conflicting medication instruction. In 2012, Dr. Nelson was placed on probation with medical record keeping issues. He was placed on probation for 1 year, asked to do 4 hours of continuing education in medical record keeping with a $100 civil penalty. And in 1998, there was a violation and there was a consent agreement with a civil penalty of $50. And the allegation was that the doctor signed his colleague's name to a prescription because he was not familiar with the medication. And that is it.
Okay. So in the level of civil penalties, what is the normal incremental amounts? Victoria?
What you may want to consider is that you listed quite a few things.
Yes.
And there's a repetitive pattern that isn't changing, which makes me err on the side of this is a serious issue. You will
be penalized.
Yeah.
So then we had one with actual probation, and the last was a $300 penalty.
It was a $100 civil penalty for the when he was placed on probation and had to do 4 hours of continuing education in medical record keeping. The last one was a $50 civil penalty. That was actually 1998, so that was the first one. In 2012, it was the medical record keeping course, and the $100 civil penalty.
I would propose a $500 civil penalty.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for $500 civil penalty.
Is there a time frame on that?
What do we typically pay?
We don't have any CE, so just to be paid within 60 days.
To be paid within 60 days.
Okay. We have everything, so all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Does that take care of that item then? Okay, thank you. Okay, now we have Dr. Wright, so we're going to go back up to number 22114 in regards to Tony Barnes, DVM. Tracy, will you read us the summary?
Yes. Case 22114, the complainant is Stacy Holtz. The respondent is Tony Barnes, DVM. On March 21st, 2022, Greta, a 5.5-year-old female Swedish ballhound, was presented to respondent due to wanting to go outside frequently to relieve herself. The dog would urinate sometimes, and other times not. Complainant suspected it was a behavioral issue, however, respondent wanted to make sure there was not a medical issue. Respondent attempted to obtain a urine sample via cystocentesis twice. The second attempt, the dog moved, and respondent aspirated blood. Respondent spoke with complainant to ask if she could bring a urine sample in. During this time, the dog collapsed. Staff and associate veterinarian began CPR without success. The following day, complainant approved a necropsy. The necropsy revealed a lacerated vena cava, presumably a result from the cystocentesis. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board to find ARS 322232 number 11, gross negligence and malpractice. Respondent proceeded with a cystocentesis in a nervous dog with a small bladder, which led to the death of the dog. And ARS 322232 12, as it relates to R311-5011, failure to provide courteous verbal interchange with the pet owner by not discussing the cystocentesis and the associated risks prior to performing the procedure, and not recommending a necropsy be performed on the dog in a timely manner. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. For this case, we do have the complainant here in person, as well as the attorney for the veterinarian. Mr. Stoll, you're reading a statement?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, come on forward.
Thank you, David Stoll, appearing on behalf of Dr. Tony Barnes. Dr. Barnes could not be here today, but asked that I read the statement on her behalf. As you know, this case concerns an unfortunate complication that occurred during a routine cystocentesis or urine collection procedure. You should know that Dr. Barnes is a graduate of Colorado State University from veterinary school, and at the time of this procedure, she had been in practice for over 24 years. During that time, she had performed hundreds, if not thousands, of these procedures without incident or complication. While treating the owner's dog, Greta, Dr. Barnes was assisted by a staff of that included three technicians, one of whom was a CVT, the second is in training to be a CVT, and the third had over 30 years of experience in the field of veterinary medicine. Greta was in good hands with an experienced veterinarian and staff. Unfortunately, this was one in a thousand case where you can do everything correctly by skilled, experienced practitioners, but have an unfortunate, and in this case, tragic outcome. You should also know that Greta was not a new patient for Dr. Barnes. She had treated Greta since she was a puppy, and Greta did not appear to her to be nervous, as stated by the committee. Greta presented to Dr. Barnes the same way she had on all prior occasions. Dr. Barnes discussed with the owner the need for the urine analysis, and she was professionally confident performing the cystocentesis because, as stated previously, she had done this on numerous times without complications and with bladders that were smaller than Greta's. The procedure was performed in the exact same way, the exact same manner as Dr. Barnes had performed it on all prior occasions. This was simply an unforeseeable, unfortunate accident That was not the result of anything Dr. Barnes did that fell below the standard of care. We therefore respectfully disagree with the proposed gross negligence and malpractice recommendation by the committee. With regard to the committee's concern that Dr. Barnes did not timely recommend a necropsy to the owner, apparently the committee did not fully understand or appreciate the actual case timeline, because Dr. Barnes did offer a necropsy in a timely manner, and a conclusive necropsy was performed at the earliest opportunity. Remember, this incident took place late in the day on Monday, May 21st, 2022. According to the statement of Dr. Jenny Cease, which you have in your materials, she became aware that CPR was being performed on Greta, quote unquote, sometime between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock p.m. While CPR was being conducted, the practice contacted the owners, who were fully informed of what was going on, and Dr. Barnes asked for the owner, James Folks, to come to the practice. When Mr. Folks arrived at approximately 5:30, CPR had already been going on for 45 minutes, and he asked that it be discontinued. Greta was then prepped for the owners to have some alone time with her before they left, which presumably was around 6 o'clock p.m. Fortunately, we have the timestamp text message exchange between the owner, Stacy Folks, and Dr. Barnes, because we know the exact time a necropsy was offered and accepted. Those text messages confirm that at 7:13 p.m., approximately 1 hour and 13 minutes, after the owners had said goodbye to Greta, Dr. Barnes sent Ms. Folks a text message offering to have the practice perform a necropsy. In response, Stacy sent back a text that said, "I don't know." They continued exchanging text messages to each other until 10:07 that evening. The next morning at 7:25 a.m., the owner, Stacy Folks, restarted the text message exchange by saying, "I think I would like to proceed with a necropsy." At 7:26 a.m., within a minute of Stacy's text message accepting the offer of the necropsy, Dr. Barnes texted her back and said, "Okay, I will let them know." The necropsy was then done that very same day by Dr. Amanda Gordon, and the results were timely relayed to the owners. As set forth in the medical records, Ms. Folks was told that the cause of death was likely severe blood loss caused by a lacerated vena cava. In sum, the necropsy was offered 1 hour and 13 minutes after the owners said goodbye to Greta, at a time when the owners were not prepared to decide if they wanted one done. Presumably, they wanted to sleep on it, because the very next morning they authorized the necropsy, and Dr. Barnes immediately acknowledged receipt of the text message and arranged for the necropsy to be done with that very same day within the first 24 hours of the incident. We therefore failed to see that there was any type of communication violation on the part of Dr. Barnes for not timely recommending a necropsy. We do not feel that any statute or regulation of the Practice Act was violated in this case, despite the tragic and unforeseeable outcome. At most, this board's action should be limited to a letter of concern. Thank you. Thank you.
Ms. Folks, would you like to come forward and speak?
Yes, please.
Okay. Sorry. All right. So sorry for the loss of Greta. Thank you. Take your time, and you have as many minutes as you need to share what you would like. And just please note for the record that we have all the information that you have submitted.
Thank you. My name is Stacy Folks, and I am Greta's mom. I'm here today on behalf of Greta and any other animal that Dr. Barnes may be allowed to endanger now or in the future, and I'm asking you to revoke Dr. Barnes' license. Her actions surrounding her killing of Greta show that she lacks the sound medical judgment necessary to continue practicing. Greta's death did not occur as a result of a simple mistake, or as we were just told, an unfortunate complication. It occurred because of multiple poor judgment calls by Dr. Barnes, and I believe that her conduct was not only incompetent, negligent, and malpractice, but also outright reckless. First, she chose to subject Greta to an invasive and unnecessary procedure without my permission, without my consent, and without even telling me what she wanted or intended to do. Then, she chose to proceed with the procedure despite obvious contraindications, a very small bladder, and a dog she knew was nervous. I dispute what was just stated by her attorney. She told me in the exam room when she first met with me that day that Greta was nervous. The technician had noticed a slightly elevated temperature, so when Dr. Barnes walked in the room, I said, "Is that a concern, the elevated temperature?" Dr. Barnes said specifically, "No, it's not a concern, she's just nervous." For her now to say otherwise is dishonest. Dr. Barnes chose this reckless course despite the warnings of not one, but two veterinary technicians, as we've heard, who were very experienced, who had looked at the ultrasound and both felt it was too risky, and they both told Dr. Barnes, "This is too risky." Then, despite the warnings, the obvious contraindications, and the grave risk, Dr. Barnes chose to proceed, still without asking me, would I want to subject Greta to any risk or to this grave risk? I absolutely would have said no. And there is a communication problem, at minimum. She attempted the cystocentesis not once, but twice, both times without consent and despite the risks. Then, after severing Greta's vena cava, and in fact noticing that she had aspirated blood, she left Greta's side and allowed her to slowly bleed out. Dr. Barnes was either oblivious to the fact she had done something wrong or didn't care. Then, at Greta's deathbed, after I watched staff attempt CPR for at least 45 minutes, I asked Dr. Barnes what could have happened. She provided a variety of excuses without mentioning her own conduct as a possible cause. And later that night, via text messages you've seen, she once again provided multiple possible explanations having nothing to do with her conduct, and she did not encourage a necropsy even after I texted her seeking answers. In fact, if you look at the text, she downplayed it, said it may not show anything, these things sometimes just happen, etc. Again, either oblivious to what she had done, demonstrating incompetence, or dishonest. Either, I believe, is unacceptable. The next day, the necropsy was performed at my request, and that evening, Dr. Gordon called me informing me that Dr. Barnes had killed Greta. I was obviously in shock, and that was also the very first time I learned that any invasive procedure had been attempted, and it was the first time in my life I had ever heard the word cystocentesis. Now, I fear for any animal whose health or safety is entrusted to Dr. Barnes. I believe that no fine, reprimand, remedial training, or term of probation could ever be enough to instill in this doctor the requisite competence and care and sound judgment for the continued practice. Her terrible judgment and egregious conduct places animals at risk, and that is a level of risk to which no one would ever choose to consent. I certainly wish I had known what I know now about Dr. Barnes. If I did, I would have chosen a different vet, and Greta would be alive today. Every morning for the past 7 months, I've woken up without my best friend. My best friend, who would have easily lived another 10 years. Dr. Barnes stole that from us and from Greta. I have been and continue to be devastated. My heart breaks every single day, all because of Dr. Barnes' reckless, negligent, and incompetent actions. There's a permanent hole in my heart and my family, and I would never wish this pain on anyone, and that's why I'm asking you to not let her continue practicing so that she will not be allowed to place any more animals at risk again, ever. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's step back. Dr. Wright, you are the lead on this case.
Yes, thank you, and I'm sorry for your loss. So going through and looking at this, it's one of those hard situations. This is a procedure that's performed every day, multiple times a day, and you rarely ever have issues, but there is a possible complication that could occur from this. And that the laceration of a vena cava or even aorta is definitely something that's been documented, even though it's a very rare thing. Everything we do carries an inherent risk. The question is, was this risk managed? Was this just an unfortunate situation, or was this something that could raise to the level of malpractice, which is a pretty high bar? Because of that, I do have a lot of questions, especially because there's some differing accounts as to was the dog nervous, how is the dog acting, all that kind of stuff. So I would make a motion to move this to an informal to seek more information.
Second. We have a motion and a second to move case 22-114 to an informal. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
Looks like you had a question.
Yes, I do. I wanted to clarify after listening to the ICE audio that under the 501-1 portion, I heard the committee's discussion center around failure to provide professionally accepted procedures and use of current professional and scientific knowledge, as opposed to failure to provide courteous verbal exchange. It's all part of the same section and wording, but that's what I heard when I listened to the IC. So maybe Tracy could go back and double check that and see.
There was a lot of discussion, but
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Good catch. Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion on it? Okay. Motion passes. We will move 22-114 to an informal. Thank you for being here today. Now we're going to go back up to the top. 22-111 regards to Benjamin Behrman, DVM. Tracy, can you read us the case summary?
Yes, case 22-111, the complainant is Kaylee Town. The respondent is Benjamin Behrman, DVM. On March 15, 2022, Griff, a 13-week-old male golden retriever, was presented to respondent for an exam, diagnostics, and vaccines. The dog was taken into the treatment room, samples were taken, and vaccines were prepared for administration. Respondent examined the dog, administered the vaccines, and returned the dog to the complainant. On March 24, 2022, complainant reported that the dog woke her up choking. The dog was becoming unconscious, and when she picked him up, a vaccine vial fell out of his mouth. Later that day, complainant presented the dog to respondent for evaluation. Respondent performed radiographs and blood work at no charge to complainant. No abnormalities were noted except for mild elevation in lymphocytes. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The move was approved. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have a complainant. Was the attorney gonna make a statement or?
He's not here.
Yeah.
That's interesting. He texted me yesterday too.
Okay. Well, have to move on then. Okay, so we have neither the complainant nor the respondent. And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Okay, thank you. In this case, regarding the respondent, I think the respondent did everything that he could do in this case. When he discovered what had happened, he immediately did radiographs and then blood work and talked to the complainant. And so I fail to see where he has any responsibility in this. He wasn't there when the puppy ingested the vial. And so I fail to see where he should be held responsible for this. You know, perhaps the staff wasn't being as attentive as they should have with this puppy, and somebody should have witnessed what happened and they addressed it then. But so I don't see a violation in terms of the respondent. So I would make a motion to agree with the IC and dismiss it with no violation.
So I'll make a second and just make a comment that I agree. I mean, as things happen.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things happen. But I would hope that they would take this opportunity to maybe not drop vaccines next to the puppy.
For sure.
And not leave the vials there in the future.
It's for like, sure.
It's an accident, but that's an avoidable accident in the future.
Madam Chair, I have a
yes.
question. If it had been, other than the sterile solution, if it had been a vial that contained something else, could it have been injurious to the pet stuff? Or was that just lucky that that was the one?
Well, if you're talking vaccines,
yeah.
No, there'd be nothing.
Okay.
Maybe some other vile medication possibly.
Yeah, like a Vincristine.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Vaccine now.
In general, no.
Okay.
Blockage is the only thing you'd worry about there.
Yeah,
blockage,
so
which is a big worry, but it, yeah, sure. Threw it up, whatever.
And also glass.
Yeah,
yeah,
the
true.
Was plastic.
Yeah. True.
Generally, the cake is in glass. So if it broke, yeah, there'd
yeah.
be a problem.
Sure.
Well,
so there is an issue
it
with
versus
those single dose vials
yeah.
come in pairs. So if one's
right,
missing,
would have seen it.
Yeah.
So it would
have you know, it came in the package.
Yeah.
If you got an odd number and they don't match up, it's somewhere.
Go yeah. make
if
account.
You can't see it, you need to find it. Not
they
go should get
have gone
another
made
one.
Account.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, it's the reason we're supposed to count gauze and surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
If you had like drawn it up and it fell on the floor and the puppy, you know, swallowed it before. I mean,
yeah.
it's not like anybody did.
Well,
it
they
on
just
purpose.
Thought
the
they
trash
forgot
trash
it.
Well, yeah, I know it's not
a
purpose, but
a practice,
but it doesn't
sure.
match, right? I mean, if it's
at least just start looking earlier.
We wish they would have known it happened.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't forget to grab
it. I didn't forget.
Got kicked under a cabinet. Yeah.
Kicked under.
No, you're very right though. It's yeah.
I would have thought that.
Yeah, it's one of those bummer of a situation.
Sure.
Is it a,
fortunately, we didn't get into an obstruction.
Yeah.
Right. And if it would have gone up the rear end, they would never would have thought.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I was so shocked. Is that normal? A week later for it to...
Yeah,
oh,
they
yeah.
did
oh,
that.
Yeah.
I've seen dog toys that they're like, we've been missing that for 2 months. We need to do it.
I've seen rocks for years sitting
yeah.
in the stomach.
Stomach's a storage organ, so
yeah.
it just hangs out.
Okay.
It doesn't block the...
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 22-111. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Jane. Okay. One no.